And welcome to episode 14,
14
of,
right?
of the Road to Change podcast, the 10,000 mile walk to stop the silence and stop child sexual abuse. My name is Matthew McFarish. I'm the European Ambassador for Stop the Silence, Stop Child Sexual Abuse. And this week I'm up a mountain with my old...
Old?
I'm going to name for you there, Stiggle. Yeah. With everyone's favourite Viking, Stiggle MacGyver.
Yeah. I'm here. Nice to meet you again. And we're... up on a mountain, it's beautiful. We can see, look out the window and we can see some mountains over there.
If anyone doesn't know, if you don't know what Greece is like, it's mountain after mountain after mountain, basically. So it's nothing unusual about being up a mountain in this country. But we're really nearly there. We're like, actually...
We have one stop more today, so 17 more, and then we have 16 kilometres in the morning.
I know. We'll get there. So what does that mean? We're 33 kilometres from Athens itself.
From the centre, yeah.
Yeah, so... Yeah. Which is so frustrating because I'm only, 30 kilometres, what's that, 20 miles?
Yeah.
And we've been on the road 3.5 weeks.
Yeah.
And most people are like, just drive, we'll be there, you know, but no.
We kind of do that.
It's going to take me 3 hours more, but I've been walking since 8 o'clock this morning, but I'm going to do 3 more hours walking after this, and then tomorrow in the morning, 3 more.
Yep.
And then we're there, that'll be sitting number 20.
Yeah.
How are you feeling, Stiggle?
It'll be nice with a shower, that's for sure.
Yeah, we've had one shower in 3 weeks here.
Yeah.
And
so,
and it's 24 degrees.
Every day.
Every day.
I mean, out running and then work out. I mean, you get sweaty.
You get sweaty. Yeah. Walking 30 miles a day up and down mountains. There's a certain... I'm glad this isn't any sort of smell-o-vision.
We would win.
Yeah, no, nobody was... Everyone would stop listening to the podcast if you could actually... get an idea of how bad this is. Anyway, so Stiggle, we're in Greece. We're excited. As ever, Mandy Bob is in Athens. She's been here for 3 weeks, setting up events at press and media and stuff. You'll be hearing from her shortly. But Stiggle, we put out for some questions for the listeners this week, and there was quite a few, so we should start with them.
Yeah, we should start with them. All right. Amanda Jane, do you think teachers and schools should be educating children about abuse, or is it the parents' responsibility?
Mandy's my cousin.
Oh.
And she was, is and was one of the biggest original supporters of Road to Change. She's in East Kilbride, my hometown. And she, she's helped with so many different fundraisers, and she turns up to everything that's going on for Road to Change. So a big, huge, gorgeous thanks to you, Wee Petal, and your mum, and the rest of yous, all the Oaty Biscuits. So the question was, do I think they should teach child sexual abuse prevention in schools, or is it the domain of the parents? Well, sadly, child sexual abuse very often, this is a reality. Many of the survivors that I speak to were sexually abused by their own parents. Unfortunately, it would make more sense that it is a school domain issue. Parents, absolutely, there's books out there that can help you learn the language and how to discuss these things with your children, which would be age appropriate and developmentally appropriate for the child. We always talk about the book, My Body Belongs to Me. You can buy it online, read that to your kids. If you think, I did trigonometry in school. And I can promise you, in the history of my life, I have never used it. But if at any point in the 13 years I was in school, we had one lesson on, child sexual abuse, what it is and how to prevent it, and what, then that would have altered the entire trajectory of my life.
Yeah.
So yeah, absolutely. It should be taught in schools.
Yeah, that's good. Rosie Bell, did you boil that poor wee baby snake or roast it?
Rosie... Did we boil the snake or roast it? We live in a camper van that doesn't have an oven. It's just got 2 wee gas hobs. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Oh, shit. Oh, sorry about that. Helle Tilsted? I think that's
Danish, yeah.
Now that you've been on the road for almost a year, is the motivation still as high as when you left London?
Yes, absolutely. Helle's one of the... lovely ladies that I met in Denmark when I went to SPOR, which is an incredible organisation in Copenhagen.
Oh yeah, I have the t-shirt.
Yeah, you got the t-shirt. Yeah. I give a talk there and I met some incredible people, and they'll stay in touch online, and hopefully I'll see them, when we're down in Switzerland or when we reach Edinburgh. But absolutely, the motivation every day is as high as it was the day I left London. At the end of this month, it will be 1 year. One year.
And that will be 8 months for me. So
8 months for Stiggle on the road.
Todd Trainer. What motivates you when you're walking for miles and miles and feel like giving up? Well, you always vision the last mile, don't you?
Yeah, but that's a funny question, because the question is, what motivates you when you feel like giving up? That assumes that I've ever felt like giving up.
Oh yeah, well you haven't.
I've never felt like giving up. I think, you know, it's obviously, it's a difficult project, but it had to be. You know, the point is we're trying to raise awareness of something that cultures, you know, don't want to talk about. So you have to do something perceivably extraordinary in order to kind of earn their attention. You know, so if we just flew here, stepped off the plane, knocked on the door of the Parliament and the press and said, can we talk to you? You know, why would they even give us the time of day? But the fact that we've, you know, travelled here, you know, step by step, all the way from London via 19 other capital cities, you knock on the door of the powers that be and say, look, I've come a long way. And, you know, for a very important reason, can I please have your attention? And so, you know, and it's working. You know, we can see, I get lovely messages now from survivors, you know, survivors in countries where the road to change has been, sometimes in countries have not been yet, which is bizarre, but, you know, from survivors who tell me how the walk has inspired them on a daily basis, some of them. And so that's another thing, you know, the fact that it is working. We've created discussion of legislative change at the top level in a number of countries. Right. And so giving up is not even an option, do you know what I mean? It doesn't enter. But I mean, because it's horrible in a sense. Like, look at this week where, you know, we're walking 30 miles a day. We haven't had a shower for 3 weeks. It's 24 degrees outside right now. You know, today I saw 5 snakes. One of them's dangerous. I don't know which one. You know, I met 3 crazy mental dogs today. One of them got a bit close, but, you know, that's how many. I don't know what number of dog that is. I've dealt with thousands at this point. And, you know, we can't wash our clothes. There's no way of doing that on the road. My body reacts really badly to mosquitoes, so I'm covered in lumps. So I'm probably going to have to take antibiotics for the infected bites on my legs. And you look at all that stuff and you go, well, that's not suffering. You know, that's just discomfort. All of those things are temporary. And I know that they're self-imposed because I chose to do this. Suffering is not the same. Suffering is a child is sexually abused every 30 seconds. You know, and do you get that? A lot of people say they get that because they can understand it, you know, they can comprehend the number of kids I'm talking about. But you don't really get it until you know what that means. What child sexual abuse, okay, you say a kid is sexually abused every 30 seconds. Most people's reaction is, oh, that's terrible. That shouldn't happen to children. Well, yes, that's the first reaction. And then the next is to realise, what does that mean? What does that mean for that child, and what does that mean for that child's future? And what does that mean on a larger scale in society? That's happening every 30 seconds. So visualise, if you can, you know, not just the kid, not just the victim or the adult survivor that it directly affects. Imagine the rest of society. Imagine the mother whose kids were abused by her brother, and now her brother's in prison and her kids are all, you know, struggling, and maybe they need therapy, and the whole family's kind of getting torn apart by this thing that she didn't do and she doesn't know how to deal with it, you know. Imagine the man whose wife was sexually abused when she was a child, and now they're married and they have this kind of really complicated sex life, and he's trying to start a family and she's struggling because anytime they're intimate she has panic attacks, you know. Or you know, imagine the guy who's a survivor of child sexual abuse. He's in his early 20s and he has 2 or 3 diagnosable mental conditions, which are social and mental problems that he has, which means that he can't be in a group of people. So he wants to apply to university, but he doesn't know that he has PTSD. So every time he's in a group of people, he gets anxious and he can't cope. So he doesn't put himself in that environment. So then he can't apply for a university. And he doesn't even know that that's what he's suffering from, because he's never spoke about the fact that he was sexually abused. I mean, these are just a couple of examples, but they're real and they're happening. And, you know, in every city in the world, in every street, pretty much, you know, and it's on a global scale. It's massive. And this is continuing to happen every 30 seconds. You know, if you can really comprehend that, if you can comprehend the weight of that sadness and that injustice, then to know that something you're doing, something as simple as walking 30 miles a day, you know, through snake country, to know that that's helping in some small way, that that's making some sort of difference, then then giving up is not even it's not even an option.
It doesn't matter that we don't have a shower. I've had a shower in 3 weeks.
Yeah, I know. You just, you know, Stego just battles his eyelids and people don't mind what he smells like.
Yeah. Lovely Pam.
Hang on, there's a motorbike rally going by here. That's fine, it's passed. Okay.
Lovely Pam. Pam on your own pine. Where and how do you think we can best best focus in Europe, countries and activities, to move prevention and mitigation activities forward after RTC arrives home?
Dr. Pamela Pine there. It's lovely to hear Pam's listening all the way from Maryland, from Washington, D.C. Pam's the founder and CEO of Stop the Silence, but also, I would say, the producer of Road to Change. Where do we think we should focus our energies in Europe after the walk? Well, I mean, in part of the Road to Change, obviously we're raising awareness and we're directly trying to encourage collaboration between NGOs and create political change whilst we're there. But afterwards, that there comes the kind of plan B or the next wave of it. So the first part's like a big, as I'm walking around, it's like this gigantic reconnaissance mission where I learn about what's going on and I see what the situation is. But I think, if you imagine a country like Estonia, which is perfectly placed, Estonia is the largest of the three Baltic states, but the capital city, Tallinn, is 20 miles away from the capital of Finland, Helsinki. And so they're very closely linked politically and culturally. But a city like that, where Road to Change went there, we met the Ministry of Justice, we met the Ministry of Social Affairs, we had great relationships with the Child Ombudsman. We got an incredible meeting where they understood all the reasons we talked about, you know, that the statute of limitations must change. They were excited, you know, there's going to be an Estonian translation of the book, My Body Belongs to Me. And we met the Child Welfare Channels there, who's, you know, hopefully going to introduce that to reach millions of kids. We have an incredible relationship with the British Embassy, you know, His Majesty's Ambassador Chris Holtby. Chris was great. He invited Stig and I to stay at his house and
I almost died.
Stig nearly died because he was allergic to seafood at that fancy meal in the ambassador's house, and we stayed up all night and drank all his whiskey. So a country like that, where we made real links and there was genuine interest to change things. You see, if Estonia changed the statute of limitations, because it is the largest of the three Baltic states and they're so politically closely linked, it could create a knock-on change for the other two countries, but also it's closely linked with Helsinki, and of course you could just do put a lot of pressure there, and that could be the lever that changes things like a domino in six other nations. So that would be one option. And the other one, of course, is just to go to the European Parliament, because we did get from the government in Bulgaria, who said, you know, look, we understand what you're saying, but, you know, if the European Parliament make us change this, we'll do it, but right now it's not a priority. And I understand why they think it's not a priority, but if they really understood the impact it was having on their own society and their own economy and the cleanup and the kind of dealing with the aftermath of child sexual abuse in all its forms, they would actually realise they'd save themselves a lot of money and the general health and well-being of their population by prioritising reduction of child sexual abuse. So, yes, Pam, Dr. Pine, we're thinking we're going to go to the UN, we're going to go to the European Parliament, and we'll actually, you know, we're going to revisit every country, not on foot, but everywhere we've been, we're going to come back and say, right, come on, what's changing?
Come on now.
What have you done? What you said you were going to do? Uh-huh. So yeah. Any more questions to go?
Yeah, we got one from Sanjay.
Sanjay.
How will you all adjust back to life when you all go your separate ways, even though the walking has finished, but the project continues? Do you have plans when you'll return in February?
Do you have plans to go?
I do. I'm going to apply for the paramedic course, and that's my top priority, so that's what I'm going
to
do.
Well, we realised the Road to Change, it kind of became obvious that Stig likes to drive a vehicle and he likes to help people. So
yeah, so when Roddy was out, it just hit me, so that's what I want
to
do.
Yeah, my brother Roddy, who walked with me from Bulgaria to the...
Oh, I miss Roddy.
He walked from Romania to Bulgaria, that was it. Yeah. And Roddy, my brother, is an advanced paramedic. Him and Stego hit it off and realised that Stego should be a paramedic. That's what you should be. But how will you feel when it's all finished, Stego?
I would be sad. I would be really sad. But Yeah, I don't know. It's just I can't comprehend it now. So I need to get there before.
I know. I love that. I mean, it's people only, are asking this question. How will you feel when it's over? Yeah. I'm like, look, do you know? I've not even walked 5,000 miles yet. No. I still a couple of weeks. I'll walk 5,000 miles, and I'll officially be halfway.
Yeah.
People are already saying, "What? How will you feel?" Changes.
Anyway,
I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah,
how will I feel when it's finished?
I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of sad,
but I mean, I'll be like, right, what's next? You know, yeah. I'll be like, because this was my plan 3 years ago. I came up with this idea, and when it, you know, when it finishes, like I say, the walking bit will have finished, but the project will continue.
Yeah,
you know, and I think, I mean, other works. You know, I'm an actor, so I've still got an agent in London for doing acting work, so I'll go back to him and I'll go, right, gonna get a job. And then I've got some ideas for projects, for stuff that I want to write, a couple of scripts that I've already started working on when, you know, as I'm walking along. And I think with Stop the Silence, we're starting already to have stuff lining up for next year. We're working in Texas and Hawaii and Los Angeles all next spring. I'll be attending talks and stuff and that kind of stuff. Yeah.
I think it's going to be quite lonely when you and I aren't going to be together all the time. So.
Yeah, we'll become a bit like, you know, you're like Don Quixote. So.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. It's ages to go anyway. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a weird question.
Yeah. And we got one last question, and it's from my gran, Gunilla. I'll just read it in Swedish as well, and then what are you doing on the beat then of an orm? I think that's it. Yeah. What do you do if you get bit by a snake?
Jag dör.
Yeah.
So good. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So do you have an antidote in the van pharmacy?
If I get bitten by a snake.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess we do have a really. Really
comprehensive,
sophisticated, advanced paramedic kit in the van. My brother, who's an advanced paramedic, and my sister, who's a pharmacist, they both have spent a lot of money because they understand what stuff we needed to buy. So we have everything. We have we're literally like a wee ambulance here. So we do have a lot of first aid stuff. But you know, I messaged Julie, who's remember Ali that drove the van. We drove Yvonne from Copenhagen to Stockholm. He was the follow driver where I met Stiggle. And he has an auntie who lives here in Athens, Julie, who we're going to meet tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And I messaged her this morning and I said, look, you know what, these snakes, are any of them dangerous? Should I be worried? And she said, yeah, one of them's dangerous, but the rest of them, don't worry about it. So yeah, so exciting stuff. So dodging the snakes. But right now, we'll go over and see what Mandy Bobs has been up to, the third member of the Road to Change team.
Hello everybody, just sitting in the car on the edge of Athens near, where are we?
We are in Sunia, where the Temple of Poseidon is.
Yes, I'm just sitting with Akis Peridigas.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the couch surfer people that I met here in Greece. So we've come out here to get some photos and footage for the Road to Change documentary, because every country that we go to, we try to look for some very typically, you know, footage that's really going to convey where we are visually well. So I think this temple will look quite good in the video. It was a nice journey here. We drove along the coast, and there was lots of little abandoned churches.
A lot of little coves, a lot of little beaches, and a lot of little churches. Yeah, this, in case you were wondering, it means that someone had an accident there and they actually died.
Yeah.
And their family built a mini church along the side of the road in memory of the person who left the earth.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a very religious thing.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was so pretty as well. So let me drive back. We'll have a church built after us.
Oh, if you insist. Okay. Two churches.
Okay, so what's been happening work-wise? It's been quite a stressful week because Cyprus and Malta are our next stops, their islands, so there's no walking there, and I think we're maybe asking a bit much of Matty to ask him to swim, so there's no set-up time. So I've got to try and set up the islands from here in Athens. So lots of phone calls, lots of emails, doing a lot of the outreach for Cyprus myself because the embassy there are very busy. Malta's shaping up nicely. The President's office are directly involved and the High Commissioner is looking into setting up some meetings for us there as well, so that was great. Athens, it looks like it's going to be a bit last minute because the timing was unfortunate. It was the Easter break when we got here. Everyone was on leave. The 1st of May here is a big holiday as well, so yeah. If I'd known this weeks ago, I would have looked into setting up Athens myself, but initially when I contacted the embassy here, they said that they were very keen and very interested and going to get very hands-on and involved, and it just didn't really turn out that way. So, yeah, I'm a bit frazzled. It's nice to have the day off and be somewhere so scenic. Sanjay. Hi, Sanjay. You had a question for us. I'll be very sad when the road to change is over, obviously. Such a big journey. I went home for a couple of weeks in March, and by that point I'd only been on the road for a few months, and already I felt the difference. When I went back, I felt a bit alien. Everything was very foreign and seemed quite small. Because when you're out here and you're just getting from A to B, everything's very challenging. You know, you don't understand the language, you don't know where anything is, you don't know how the system works. So going home is going to be a bit of a shock to the system, but also nice because I'll get to see my friends and family again. And Alan. Hi, Alan. I'm missing you. What have I got lined up for myself, you were asking? Alan and I are going to move to London together. Make some money, finish my TEFL with the intention of moving to Barcelona to teach English as a foreign language, get fluent in Spanish and further my scuba diving experience because something that I'm very interested in doing now is underwater photography and filming. So that's what's on the agenda for me when I get home. The road to change has broadened my horizons and I think I'm always going to be looking for the next big challenge. And on a more personal note, I think the road to change is also got me trusting people again. You know, I never would have hitchhiked or couch surfed or anything like that before I came out here. And through doing all of this, I'm appreciating life more and liking people again. So, yeah, feel very lucky to be here. And yeah, home is February next year, so still got a long way to go. Anyway, I've got some filming and photography to do, so I'm going to wrap this up. Speak to you later. Bye!
Bye, everybody.
Thanks, Mandy Bob. So, yeah, the wee churches at the side of the road that they're talking about, I pass so many of them each day.
Yeah.
You know, and it's beautiful tribute to those people, but it's just a constant reminder for me for the genuine danger that I'm facing every day, you know, on these roads, windy roads. But not to worry, folks, Athens is going to be good. Like, when we arrive in Bucharest, the British Embassy there have been particularly busy as well, politically. We don't expect help from the British Embassy. We love it when it happens, but we have other ways of reaching out to the media, so we're not panicking. Actually, all of the media that that happened in Romania was through my contacts, my theatre contacts in New York. So so I've already made a shout out to them, so things are coming together.
Yeah.
We've got one more question which just landed whilst we were recording.
So it's from Granny Wendy.
Wendy! Hello, Granny Wendy.
So I have invested in a few books which are all good for kids in my family to teach them about child sexual abuse and secrets, etc. What book do you recommend to teach kids and why? I think kids should be taught from preschool age and that all libraries and schools should have books available for parents and teachers, as some parents can't afford to buy the books.
Excellent question, Wendy Bobs. So, you're right, there's a wonderful book called My Body Belongs to Me. It's by Jill Staroszewski. When she was creating the book way back, she consulted Dr. Pamela Pine of Stop the Silence, and Dr. Pine kind of gave some information on child sexual abuse. way back at the, you know, when the book was being formed. But just to be really clear, this book doesn't teach children about child sexual abuse. It doesn't give them graphic images. It's just a book called, you know, My Body Belongs to Me, and it teaches them about their own anatomy. And it's developmentally appropriate. It's like a little storybook. You know, it's in rhyme. It's in English. The Road to Change project has encouraged, you know, we're in talks now about that book being translated into Slovakian, Lithuanian and Estonian. And I'd love to see it in, you know, every European language, because the book is a beautiful way for adults and kids to just, you know, you read this, obviously you read it, the book to the kids, and then, you know, they can ask questions. And there's nothing graphic or there's nothing sexual, because the thing that I detest about child sexual abuse, I think that makes me so devastated and angry at the same time, is the loss of innocence, because it's irreplaceable. You know, to take away a child's innocence like that, and that's the thing you cannot, no matter what you do, you can't fix it, you can't ever undo the damage in that sense. So to read a book to a child about sexual abuse, does, you know, the panic is that that's going to sexualize them as well, you know, and take away their innocence. But this book is so cleverly created by child psychologists, and, you know, it is appropriate and cleverly written, such that the kids understand their own body and what the limits are, and, you know, what's appropriate and what's not, and it gives them tools, you know, that they can understand and what to do if something does happen. Because what we're now starting to see about trauma and the way it manifests in your mind and the way that kind of affects the rest of your life is like any other illness, like any other thing. The sooner you start dealing with it, the less, you know, the less hold it has. So if kids, if they do have some sort of abusive experience or violation, the sooner they talk about that and deal with that, you know, the better chance of their full recovery. And you can, I think, you know, you can really recover to a point that you can manage your life. But if you leave it and don't talk about it and stuff, that's when it really can devastate your life. So yeah, so My Body Belongs to Me, check it out. It's got a website, there's a little video there, it was featured on Oprah. You can watch Jill, the author, talking with Oprah about the book and how it came together and stuff. So just Google My Body Belongs to Me and yeah, check that out.
Smashing.
So, Stego, have we got a nail-lock of the week?
Oh, we do. My God, that's a great nail-lock. It goes to me this time. It
goes to you, yeah, Stego.
Like, yeah, you had like 3 times in a row now.
So what happened?
All right, Stego? So bear with me, it's quite a long story. Alright, so yesterday, for the last stop, I had to drive into this wee town and find somewhere safe to park.
It's called Theba?
Theba, yeah.
Just like the other side of the mountain from Athens.
Yeah. And, when I drove into the town, I think it was 14 kilometers or something like that from where we started, I needed to drive 16. So I kept driving into the town. And I noticed that there were like single file lanes in east one direction. So I drove onto it, and it was like quite narrow because the cars were parked on each side. So I kept driving, and I couldn't find anywhere to park, even at the 16 kilometer mark. So I decided to drive back and park at a 14 kilometer, just because, well, it's safer. So I told my GPS to take me back to it, and it gave me, I had to drive around the city. And, well, I thought that was no strange, because it was just one direction lanes and files, and it was quite understandable. So I started to drive, and then I came onto, under a bridge, and onto a dodgy looking road. I mean, it was just gravel, and it's not a road. And I saw, I think I saw 2 people standing on top of the houses, and then I heard someone yell, and then this guy comes up to me, runs up to me, yelling and screaming and waving and stuff. So I had to like stop, and I had the window down on the driver's side, and and I tried to explain that I'm not, I can't speak Greek, I only speak English, so. He didn't understand, and then he just kept yelling at me and screaming and waving. So I kind of understood that he wanted me to go under the bridge and back onto the road. So I decided to, yeah, sure, let's do it. So I started, I mean, it was a quite a narrow road, and I'm driving him on, so I had to reverse and try to get back. And now, it took me a while, but then when I had finished the turn, so I was just going to drive out, this guy comes up to my the driver window again. He starts screaming and pointing and yelling. And within half a second, there's three more faces stuck in, cramped into the driver window. He's looking into the car and the cabin. And on the other side, in the passenger window, there's like four more people. I was like, everyone was swarmed around Yvonne, and I was like, fuck is going on? Sorry about that. Not my. That was my.
We're not going to bleep that out. That was classic.
Yeah. So, and then he starts yelling at me. He's like the leader of sort. I mean, I can't really tell, but then he points and yells towards the dashboard, I think. So, and then he draws out a knife. And at that moment, I kind of understood that he wanted to change I had on the dashboard. Uh-huh. And it wasn't that much, but I was like, I don't really want to die or that kind of money. So I collected it, and it was like €2.50 or something like that. It wasn't that much. And I gave it to him, and then he looked at it, and then they just dispersed. So they were just gone like the wind. And I was able to drive away safe and sound. And then I went back to the parking lot where I met you, and I told you about it. It's crazy. And then this morning, when I was securing stuff in the back here in the van, so I could start to drive off, a guy knocked on the door, and I opened, and he said I had to be safe because there's local bandits roaming the streets. So, I mean, yeah, no luck there.
No luck, Stego. So you got banditized for €2.50. Well, I mean, that's a shame that happened. And I'm so glad you're safe, you know. But we're walking through the Balkans here. And, you know, who'd have thought that the first time we met thieves would be in a town called Thiva. But I'm glad you're safe. I mean, we're told in Bulgaria to be careful of bandits by the police. And we didn't meet any. But sorry, someone's donated €2.50, and it's been nicked from us but at knife point by some bandits.
It was quite a big knife as well. I was like,
yeah,
I wasn't scared.
No, I mean, I think they're just petty criminals, but no luck, Stego.
So no luck, yeah.
It's all part of the adventure.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much for listening, guys. This one has been interesting. Next week, I hope it's been interesting. I'm telling you, it's interesting. I don't know. Maybe you're not interested. But next week, we'll have obviously been in Athens for a week. The Road to Change will have hopefully met as many people as we can and created some change in Greece. And we'll have a lot more to report. But this has been the end of 3 weeks on the road. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, it will be nice to get a brief shower.
Yeah, I think it'd be great when you finally get a wash to go.
Right, I can smell myself. That's bad.
Well, I've got 3 more hours walking to do today, and then we're hopefully going to find somewhere that's showing the Eurovision Song Contest.
Oh,
which doesn't start till 10 o'clock. I think because we've visited so many.
I predict that Sweden will get in the almost last.
Almost last.
Yeah.
Thing is, like, we've met so many nice people in so many countries. I feel like I'm going to be rooting for, you know, the last 20 countries we've been in. So I don't know who to root for, but yes, good luck to all the countries.
Hi, good luck.
And just if this is your first time listening, please understand that the Road to Change is a project organised and supported by Stop the Silence, Stop Child Sexual Abuse, in partnership with the Moira Anderson Foundation. Massive thanks to our producer of the podcast, Tom Urey, and a big happy birthday to my wee dad, who is 75 tomorrow. That's 3/4 of a century.
Crazy.
Any final thoughts, Stiggle?
Nope. I'm just happy to be alive.
Okay. My final thought, if you're listening to this, please check out the Mental Illness Happy Hour podcast by Paul Gilmartin. Go to mentalpod.com and check it out. It's an awesome podcast by loads of celebrities, but also loads of average people who just talk about the things they struggle with in their mind. So if you're a survivor or just someone who likes a podcast, check it out. And thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to donate to Road to Change, roadtochange.eu. Right, I keep forgetting to donate to us. And thank you so much for listening.
See you next week. See you next week.